Do you want to become a better songwriter? Well, we created a very simple 10-minute songwriter personality test, and it's going to help you better understand who you are as a writer, and it's going to help you in the writer's room when you're writing with other writers, because you're going to be able to identify what kind of writer they are. Maybe even have them take the songwriter personality test. If you're curious and you want to take the songwriter personality test today, just visit songwriterpersonalitytest.com or go to the link on the writingworship.co website.
Brave Worship, episode 51.
You're listening to the Brave Worship Podcast with Chrissy Nordhoff and Mary Beth Dodd. Brave Worship is all about encouraging women to write, lead, and live worship.
We're going to have a fun podcast today because we've got not one but two guests with us today. Well, Lonnie's not technically a guest, I guess. Right, Lonnie?
Oh, I'm a guest. I'm a rookie here.
First time. First time?
But she's been a part of Brave Worship for a long time. And what is your technical role right now, Brave Worship?
I think my technical title is cat herder of Brave Worship. But no, I usually run all of the planning and events teams and things like that, that are the behind the scenes that make Brave Worship events kind of come together, along with many other amazing people that serve with us.
Yes, but you do amazing things. Many nights I remember closing down after we had events, and me and you were left.
Turning the lights out.
Yeah, you were turning the lights out, yes. And I was still talking. But with us today, we have a good friend of ours, and this is Tony Wood. Welcome, Tony.
Thank you for the invitation, Chrissy. Lonnie, glad to be here.
Yes. Okay, so I'm going to share just a little bit about your bio, and then we'll talk about who you really are. In real life.
Ooh, yeah.
Okay. This is okay. Scary already.
So, you're a multiple Dove Award winner. You're a Dove Award nominee for Songwriter of the Year. You're going to get that one of these days. He has
31 number one songs.
And those are radio. And then over 800 songs recorded in the CCM market. And you've been a staff writer. You're a staff writer now for Word.
Now for Word.
But you've been a staff writer for 28 years.
Yeah.
What?
4 different publishing companies along the way, but yeah.
That's crazy. Amazing. That kind of longevity in this industry is really rare. That kind of longevity, don't you think?
God's been really good.
Hashtag hero.
Yes.
Hashtag just won't quit.
Not a quitter.
Should have gone away. Just didn't quit.
But Tony has become a friend over time, and we've written together at retreats and things like that.
A few things along the way.
I remember one time you threw rocks at me.
I knew you would remember that.
I just remember that.
I don't know. I think I just sensed early on that you were a good friend and could be picked
on. Oh, yeah. I can pick right back.
What size rocks are we talking about?
They were little.
But, yeah.
I was like,
but they got
our
attention.
I was really tired. I was finally like in a hammock at this retreat, like almost falling asleep. And then, bing.
Like, hey, what's going on?
I like it.
I don't know. It just seemed like the thing to do, what you do with friends.
Yes, you do. Well, and I guess I've sort of viewed you as a big brother in some ways, Tony, because you've just had a lot of experience, and I learned from you in a lot of ways, and I'm really thankful just to have you as a role model in my life. But when I get into a really hard situation, I know it's bad when I'm like, I just need to call Tony Wood. Actually, last week when I called you, my husband told me to call you.
That's that wasn't good. Even That's me. Good.
Oh, we should make bracelets that are like WWTW. Yeah. What would Tony? Oh, wait. DD.
I've been grateful for the times that you have because, you know, I've been in the rooms for a good number of years. I know a lot of the mistakes that can be made and so just some different difficult dynamics sometimes in rooms where you're like, how do you navigate this? And so I'm always glad to talk about that stuff.
Well, and then just balancing, because there is an emotional side of writing.
Oh.
And keeping your emotions out of it is hard sometimes.
Oh.
And just doing just the right thing.
And the radical insecurity of every creative sitting in the room always evaluating, is there a loser in the room? Am I the loser? Just that fear of that at any moment we're going to be exposed as being completely inadequate and you're just a total fraud in the room and this is the day where I'm found out. And you just we have that fearful insecurity. And yet I think a lot of times it's that kind of insecurity that's really good fuel for pushing us to try harder and to press on. It's true in every creative. That really, that helped me years ago to realize a couple of things, because I grew up very isolated as a creative, in a small kind of farm town in Virginia, but writing songs, and none of my friends were writing songs. Yeah. And so I just, you know, just different.
You just stood out.
Just a little bit different that way. And you come here and you start to be around other people. You know, I think I believe when I was in Virginia that I bet there's a kid in Alabama and Wyoming and Michigan who's kind of obsessing about this stuff.
I was now, the kid in Michigan.
Yeah.
You always say that. You said, I feel weird until I came here.
And my friends call me weird.
And if somebody used the phrase one time, you come and find your people.
Yeah.
And it was like, well, you are just like me. Very alone, but you were obsessing about poetry and structure and rhyme patterns and things like that mattered to you, but not to any of the friends that you were hanging out with. Yeah. So you come here and you get put in rooms with all these people who I mean, we're all radically different, but a little bit crazy, but alike in some way. So to figure out that everybody else that I'm in the room with is just as insecure as I am, and is probably 99% of the time as much of an introvert as I am too. Mm. That was a really kind of a relaxing thing to me to just go, okay, so we're not really comfortable here. And the couple of people that you meet along the way that, you know, really maybe extroverts or something, I don't know, you're like, well, there are a few, but most of the time I can walk in a room assuming this person is probably wired like me. Hmm. There's a comfort in that, a bizarre kind of comfort.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's a good place to start knowing that everyone has insecurities and that we need to get past it.
Everybody feels weird. You just need to get to the point of laughing a lot of times, I think.
Which is in that where we really start off a lot of times, just always catching up with what's up with life and family. But then, I don't know, it always gets goofy pretty soon and looking up some YouTube clip of something stupid and or just laughing about life. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and last week when you and I were having a phone call, because I was like, I just need to talk to like you as a big brother in this situation, which I really appreciated, by the way, and really helped
always me. Glad to.
But one of the things that came up when we were talking was, you know, there's different ways to prepare before you walk into a writing room, right?
Yeah.
And we've got a lot of people that are brand new writers that are listening, or maybe they've been writing for a little while, but maybe they haven't even co-written yet. Mm-hmm. What would you say to somebody like that? Like, what is the best way for them to prepare to walk in a room, knowing now what you've just told them? Like, they're not going to be the only one that feels weird. They're not going to be the only introvert. But on a practical level, what can they do?
Well, a couple things come to mind. I think of a quote. Carl Carty is a songwriter, worship leader, great friend. Years ago, he said about songwriting, he said, always bring a gift to the party. And I just thought, that's it exactly. It's always walk in the room. I mean, do your homework. Know something about your co-writer. Now, sometimes you can if it's a total new person or somebody that you've been set up with. But if it's somebody you've got a friendship, well, you know a little bit about them or talk in advance. You should at least know what their strengths are. Are they a little bit more lyrical, a little bit more musical? What are the expectations going in? And then try to be the complementary piece to that. I think as lyric people, we always are bringing in ideas or titles, or here's a chorus, here's four lines that I think could be a chorus. I generally always try to have a couple of things in the back of my mind. Now, a lot of times if you're with an artist, a lot of times they have things that they want to say these days. But mm-hmm. but if you're with just another writer, it's like, well, you share, I share. Sometimes it's I like to get two or three ideas on the table, because even you know, if it's just you and I sitting down today to write a song, that's probably exactly where we'd start. I'd have a couple things. You'd say, well, I've been thinking recently a lot about, you know, I'm going to try to pull it out of you as a writer too. Hey, what do you think God's been teaching you recently? Mm-hmm. What are the things that are on your heart? What are some themes that you see yourself kind of thinking about, praying about? And just somewhere in the midst of all of that, there seems to be that one idea that rises up. I love getting two or three or four out on the table, and there just seems to be one that is like, that's the one for today. There's just an energy that comes around that, and sometimes it's mine, and sometimes I like the other writer's idea far more than my own idea. It's like, great, I'll take this back. That's a song for another day. Or you mm-hmm. feel that they have a real passion about that too, and I always want to respect that. Boy, if it's something you just feel the fuel that's within them of how passionately they want to say this. And it's mm-hmm. like, if they're feeling that, I want to go there with them and help them express it as well as they can.
Hmm. Yeah. That's awesome. So they come in with ideas. They come in knowing that the other person they're writing with is probably an introvert, that it's going to be weird.
Yeah,
just expect
maybe
it to
at
be
some
weird.
Point along the way, and yeah. yet there are great friendships among introverts.
Right, yeah.
Great nerdy friendships.
Okay, so what about like during the actual co-write itself?
Yeah,
let's talk about the dynamics of how that works.
Yeah, I think the most important thing in that is to keep before you the goal. And the goal is to walk out with a great song. Yeah. A great song that you think is a great song, that I think is a great song. Or, you know, great's so subjective, but as good as we can write today. Yeah. We did not, I don't know, not fully bring ourselves, not engage in the process. No, where you stay engaged for the whole thing. Mm-hmm. But one great song is the idea, and you keep that before you. And what that starts to tell me is that's what the day is about, the song. Now, there are other agendas that want to creep
yes,
into it.
That happens.
And some of the worst are out of our complete insecurity. If I come in and I need to feel affirmed, well, boy, that is just this big ego monster sitting in the corner of the room. And then I start performing, hoping, hey, you're going to love this, and I'm going to overwhelm you with this. And I really turn on the juice and just try to get you to go, oh, Tony, that's great. Oh, that's the best. It's like, suddenly there's another agenda.
Yeah.
In the room. And that agenda can suck up so much energy and life.
Yeah.
And you can feel the neediness of the person in the room. I mean, that sounds judgmental or harsh in a way. And I don't mean it, but we're all creatives and we are very needy. Yeah. I think that's why a lot of times it's good to just have conversation on the front end. I want to know, hey, how are you doing these days? How are your kids? How's life? Is this a good time, a peaceful time? And you go on and get all of that out in the open. And
so, you know, you're for one another.
Oh, my
right
gosh.
Up, and it's not going to be a competitive thing.
Not at all, because here's kind of my assumption that took me years to get here. It's never about one song. Mm. In my early years, I thought it was about that song that day. And am I good? Am I pushing forward? Am I getting better? Are they going to say good things about me back to my publisher? Mm-hmm. You know, so I did that. I go in and I was always prepared and I was performing, trying to be the best that I could be. Hopefully I'd get other co-writes out of that. Now I come at it from the place it's about relationships. It is about caring about whoever God puts you face to face with in the day. Sometimes we get to the song. Most times we do. But there are sessions that we just never got to the song. It's something so real. Man, it's just brother to brother, brother to sister, where the most important thing you can do is just care for that person. Take time and listen. It's some sessions have turned into prayer meetings, counseling sessions, almost, whatever. That just happens. And I trust God in that. That first, I want to care about the person and you know, feel just this family of God connection. Mm-hmm. That, and then we'll get to turn the corner and go, okay, one song.
Yeah, that's kind of what stood out when you started talking, was just community, that word, just almost like establishing, even if you just have the 3-hour time slot and you may never be together again, just like establishing that.
And sometimes that catch up is as easy as 5 minutes at the beginning. And then, okay, we've got work to do and we're trying to play beat the clock too. But then on others, it's a little more relaxed and you really do have time to be family.
Yeah. And I find those, out of those relationships grow the best songs.
Because I think too, it's, I said, it's not a, just about that song, because my assumption is if we really connect and it really works, one song leads to two songs, two songs leads to four songs, and four songs leads to 40 in a couple of years. And I think you'll see that probably in some writing relationships that you have. It was just like, it just suddenly, there's this catalog between us of songs that we loved and we shared, and it just comes out of that relationship.
Yeah, I've seen that a lot in the music industry where people just find a tribe, and the more they write together, the more good things come out of it. Yeah. And then it almost has its own sound, like your own style to what you create together. Right. So,
because I think sometimes too, your co-writers are like different color crayons for you to create. You know, this music person is going to take you to maybe a bluesier place. This person's going to take you to a more poppy pop place. And it's like colors that you get to paint with, but you love that you get to go there with them. And then you start to have ideas that you think, oh, I think this is one I need to take to so-and-so. They'll get you there. And some of those last for long stretches, long seasons. And then something will happen in life or in business. And maybe for a few years, you really don't work with that person that much. And then something will change again, and you're right back in the groove with them. Hmm. That's a great thing.
What would you say to somebody that hasn't found a relationship like that?
Wow. You just keep looking. You keep kissing frogs, waiting for the prince or princess to come along. It's a little bit like a dating thing in a really gross kind of way. But you just keep writing. You just find those people.
Going. Yeah. You don't give up.
Yeah. And even on the hard ones. I mean, if the person that is before you to write with some in this season, and you're like, well, I'm glad to work with them, but it's not like a, you know, blood bond or something. I press on with that until you do. You know, until just that thing comes. Man, I was the guy at college walking down the dorm trying to find guys to write with, because nobody wanted to write songs. It'd be guys, you know, playing guitar in their dorm room, playing a James Taylor song. And I'd go, hey, you play guitar? Yeah. You want to write a song? And they're like, hey, no, weird guy, get out of here. And I just want to play this James Taylor song. And trying to find that connection. And it really wasn't for me until coming to Nashville, I started meeting some of those people that you're like, oh yeah, you're as passionate about this as I am.
Yeah, so really seeking out environments where there would be people like that.
Yeah. You know, and I think what's offered these days that I sure didn't have the advantage of is all the different conferences that are out there. Yeah. For somebody to take a weekend and hundreds of dollars and go to a conference on songwriting, worship writing, anything like that, it means, hey, they've got some desire in this area. So I think a lot of times you go to that conference and you're so focused on what's going on in the front of the room, what the writer or the publisher is speaking and teaching, that you can forget to look around and go, oh, sitting on the same row with me, sitting at the table at lunch, everybody here is a possible co-writer. And now with technology, where you can FaceTime or Skype, right? I think you go to conferences with a goal of, I'm coming away with two co-writers. Now, anything else I get from up front as teaching is just pure bonus. Mm-hmm. But I'm really here looking for co-writers.
That's really good.
I think that's a thing that's very real and possible today.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's a really good perspective, you know, because I think a lot of people do want to connect with the people that are speaking.
Yeah.
And it's just not possible for those people, but it's possible for those around you.
But you miss what's going on around you to go. And especially if it's an event where there are song critiques, wait a minute, you get to hear something of what this person is doing. And boy, you'll always hear a song, I love that melody. And you heard them critiquing that person in the back row about that. Well, you know, when it's over with, I'm going to make a point to get to know that person.
See, there you go again, talking about community instead of like competition, even in that environment. Because I think that is how you register by yourself. You go, you think like, I'm going to wow these people with my amazing song I brought. But it's such a great perspective, like to look for community even in that. So it's so good. Yeah.
Really good.
The competition is there and you got to fight against it because we got bills to pay. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if it's only one slot on a record, I want to get it.
Let's go.
But if it's two, I'd love for Chrissy to be at the second.
Oh, so generous.
There's that tension.
How about we rate it together?
Well, that's always fun. But, you know, that's the tension between competition and community that we're – it's tough. It's hard to manage and to so respect the people along the way. I don't want my friends to lose, but I do want to win.
I also want to win.
I like buying groceries. It's just, you know.
Yes. Yes. Well, and it is hard because I think, you know, you're right. There are only a certain number of opportunities.
Yeah.
And it has to be the best song. I mean, the best songs have to rise, and you're right.
I love cheering for my friends when they win, when they get significant cuts and awards and stuff like that. I really can, from a pure place, cheer for that for them. Man, good for them and God's goodness to them. They've worked hard for that. I want to talk about another piece, too, that I think is really essential for the writing room. And I think that's establishing the writing room as a safe zone where you can, to get the best songs, I've got to allow you to be you.
Yeah.
And whatever that looks like. For some people, you know, some are verbal processors and they need the freedom to just talk it out loud. Others, they need some quiet. And Sue Smith comes to mind with that. Yeah. There's this whole conversation going on in the room and she's sitting staring at the laptop and you're thinking, is she checking out? Is she not engaged? And then you fear she's checking email. She's posting on Facebook or something like that. And 20 minutes later, Sue will say, hey, so what if the second verse is this? And we'll read you eight lines that just kill you right there. Yeah. And it's like, you've got to let her be who she is. Mm-hmm. And you've got to give people the freedom to say the wrong thing. Mm. Because so often it's the wrong thing that leads to the right thing. A lot of times I'll say to them, hey, I know it's not this, but I think I know it's not the right line, but it points in a direction that I can't fully get there.
Well, and that's part of serving the song, like you were talking about earlier. Like if you truly let the song lead you through the process, you may end up in a completely different place than you started out. Some people have a really hard time with that, like letting it flow and not wanting it to, you know, end up exactly the way it started. But if you let go, that's part of the process.
Well, and it's tough too, because where I think it should go in the first 20 minutes and where you think it should go, sometimes we're exactly on the same bullseye, but sometimes we feel it a little bit differently. And I stay open to discovering as we go along. I know what I like. I know what I think is right, but I never think that I'm right. There's always the possibility there is something better that we'll stumble into. This thing that felt very pop at the beginning, no, what if it's a little more country in its feel and its language and everything? That may be the better song for the moment. So you have to have freedom for that to evolve. But I think to let people say the wrong thing, just there are no dumb ideas.
Yeah.
Ian Eskelin always said, you know, dare to suck. Just that there's freedom to just put the wrong thing out there. We're not going to judge you. It's part of the process. It's part of the dance between two or three people to get to the better thing. So, and you know, you know the rooms you feel safe in to just say it, to just where it's just friends hanging out. And yet the others where there's usually where you don't know people quite as well. You know, I got a quirky sense of humor. The people that I'm good friends with, I'm daring to be stupid. I may not go there quite as early in a new relationship. may want to be able, that's just wisdom right there. Mm-hmm. But you build that the room is safe. And that you are not going to go out and talk about somebody in a room to anybody else and in a way that's derogatory or damaging or anyway. No, it's part of the way that we get there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, Chrissy likes to stand on her head for 10 minutes sometimes. That's just, okay, however we get there, as long as we love the song, I'm not going to make fun of that to something later. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, one of my other very favorite things I've learned from you is just the language that you deliver feedback through. And so if we could talk about that just for a moment, like, you know, somebody plays you their idea and you don't necessarily gel with it or, you know, somebody throws out a line and it doesn't match with the rest of the song so far, like things like that.
Yeah.
Do you have phrases that you normally use in a write in order to give feedback in a gentle and healthy way?
It comes back to what's the goal? What's the goal is the great song. So I think your line is not exactly right. Well, you know what? I know it's just my opinion. It's certainly not gospel or law. It's like I'm feeling this. So I'm going to be very gentle in the way that I even put that out there. I'm not going to bully my way. I'm just not going to do that to people in the room. Yeah. But if I think, but I mean, we've experienced that where you said, what did you say that I said one time that,
I love the one thing that I learned from you that I use all the time is I don't know if that's in the language of this song.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's taking people out of it.
Actually. Right. Cause that, man, there's no judgment on you. That's just me saying objectively looking at these words on a page, some lines feel very pop song, let me tell you. And then others feel a little worshipy in language. And that's so subjective too. Cause gosh, words like that, you know, is Big Daddy Weaves redeemed a worship song or a pop song? Well, it's just, it's opinion, you know. So is a word like redeemed a pop word or it's just opinions. But a phrase like that is not a judgmental phrase. I read years ago, Sammy Kahn said in co-writes, he used to say, we have this, but let's try something else. So that you get two or three options on a way. I love that because there's nothing toward the person in the midst of that. And Johnny Mercer used to always ask it in the sense of questions where he'd say, well, do you think maybe this is too something like that? Yeah, just
asking a question.
Yeah, that's not like me saying, hey, I know how it needs to go. This is, it's just wondering.
Yeah. One thing I learned from Paul Balash writing with him, when you throw out ideas with him or thoughts, he says, let's write it down. Mm-hmm. Like, and no matter what you say, he says, let's write it down.
Okay.
Like that was his response. And it's awesome because you're logging it. You're acknowledging the other person's ideas and thoughts.
And sometimes in a room where you've had two or three ideas on the table in the morning, you're 2 hours into one song and something else that was thrown out that morning. Maybe what you're looking for the bridge. It's just, it's like, oh, that really fits with something over here. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
That's awesome. Any other phrases that you use on a regular basis that you can think of or no?
That's funny. I'm not aware of that, but I think I'd have to ask my co-writers. Hey,
if I would have been paying attention, I could have written those all down for you.
My favorites are the people that you are so comfortable in the room with. that when they throw out something, you go, "Wow, that's stupid," and they're gonna know, and that's because sarcasm is their love language too, and that's really comfortable at that point. But that's not a ton of folks.
Oh man, well that's awesome. Any other thoughts or questions, Lonnie, that you have had?
You know, I've heard rumors about this mysterious yellow pad that is so popular in Tony's co-write. So I feel like something should be shed, some light should be shed on just your technique even of what you bring even physically to your co-write.
I'm probably more of a write it down instead of type it in the phone kind of guy. So I've just got stacks of yellow pads in my office. And I've gone through different kinds of notebooks through the year, through the years that I prefer to use. But man, all ideas for me kind of start off on post-it notes somewhere. And cause I've got them all over the house, in the car and everywhere. Just keep your ideas somewhere so that you can take them with you. It's back to that, bring something to the party, be prepared. I don't trust myself in the moment to think up, this is the right one. But if I'll spend a few moments, maybe the night before, thumbing through, looking through, goes, oh, I think we're going to try to write something in this direction. I might see one or two titles or pieces. It's like, oh yeah. So grab that notebook and take it.
That's awesome. That's good. Well, thank you so much for sharing your heart.
I enjoyed the conversation.
And your wisdom. And I know so many people will be soaking up these words like fresh water. So
how can we find out where you are on social media?
Instagram and Twitter, TonyWood_exit71. And they're both linked at TonyWoodOnline.com. You'll find it there.
So I'm guessing you live off exit 71?
I do.
We'll be there for lunch.
Yeah, do yourself a favor and find his Instagram. There's a wealth of knowledge to be attained through his silliness Instagram. Too.
Yes. Yes, and many things we can learn from those. They're hilarious. So thank you for joining us. Thanks. We appreciate all you do and all you've poured into the body of Christ through song for years. And we're thankful to be able to benefit from your heart in that way and just get revelation through your songs. So
thanks. Grateful thank to get for, to do it. It's what I prayed asking God when I was 17, because there was a time when I just write songs about you. So to be doing that today and the people that I get to do it with.
Yeah.
Just love the people I get to do it with. Thanks.
Awesome. Well, you can check us out too at Brave Worship on Instagram, braveworship.com. And I can't remember what else, Lonnie. Is there something else?
On Facebook, we have Brave Worship and Brave Worship Community. So look us up.
You've been listening to the Brave Worship Podcast with Dove Award-winning songwriter Chrissy Nordhoff and worship leader and music pastor Mary Beth Dodd. Visit braveworship.com/free song and sign up for the email list to get updates on all the latest Brave Worship events, conferences, and retreats. Plus, get free songs to use in your next worship service, complete with chord chart and track. Also, find out how you can join Chrissy and Mary Beth in person at the next Brave Worship conference. Simply visit braveworship.com/conference to learn more.
The times I've grown most as a songwriter are the times I've had mentors showing me the way. If you're looking to grow as a songwriter, we're now accepting applications for our Worship Songwriter Mentorship. Now, it's available only a few times each year. The Worship Songwriter Mentorship is a songwriting intensive that will help you craft impactful worship songs. It's a course created by Dove Award-winning and Grammy-nominated, drumroll here, please, our founder, pro songwriter Chrissy Nordhoff. It's a small group community, and it's led by other songwriters over the course of 9 weeks. It's an intensive course in a small group co-writing environment, and that means you'll be added to a special group of about 12 writers, give or take. Each group is led by experienced songwriters, some of them my dear, dear friends, and I've even gotten to lead a group or two. Rachel here, by the way. We love the church, and we love to champion fellow worship songwriters just like yourself. In this mentorship, You'll learn how to write songs for you and your congregation. You'll go deeper in your intimacy with Jesus. You'll get the tools needed to help craft songs more easily and never run out of creative ideas. Okay, I know it sounds too good to be true, but trust me, this course is a game changer. You'll learn how to leverage your unique songwriting personality and connect with other like-minded writers in a meaningful way. Truly, I can't think of another course, group of people, community that has impacted my songwriting the way that this mentorship has. If you're wanting to take the next steps in your songwriting journey, then apply now at the link in our show notes. We hope to see you there.